Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.
It is what it is.
All right, peace, peace, family. We back in the building. This is your boy Cosmic Kev, aka Brother Kev.
And this is Raiju, aka Raiju.
Hotep, Abarigani, and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, back again, family, another week to share constructive dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So we back, family, another week. We in the building. You know, we in 2020. We just started the month of August, so we heading into Leo season. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, we got a great conversation lined up, as always. Before we get started, Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Thanks for asking. Had a, once again, a very productive week. Looking forward to Monday, the start of the new week for me. No announcements right now.
Hey, hey.
Yes, indeed, Brother Mufasa. How was your week, my brother, and do you have any announcements for us?
No, you know, all is well. It was a good week. Y'all forgive me. I might sound a little nasally here. My family gave me a little bug. So I'm trying to work through it, y'all. It ain't the Rona. Rona don't want no parts of me.
All right.
Just a little, bug I'm trying to get over. No, I never do that. The only way I do a test is, like I said, I'd be on my deathbed before I take a test. You know what?
Man, I know that.
Also,
right.
I do want to say, you know, I took a lot of time this week. If some of y'all may have heard our show last week where, you know, me and the queen was going to debate about polygamy. And I'm happy that, you know, through my edification this week and producing and showing so much information, that she was gracious enough to understand and say, you know what, Brother Mufasa, we don't need to do this. He said everything, you know. You taught me everything I needed to know. So, you know, shout out to the queen, and I'm glad she was a good student, and, you know, I'm sure she'd be able to teach a class on the subject pretty soon herself. So, shout out to the queen, and outside of that, yeah, it's been a good week, y'all. Looking forward to a good show.
Yes, indeed.
Well, of course I'm going to respond.
Yeah.
Now I'm responding so you get a chance to hear from my mouth personally. Everything he just said was totally wrong and incorrect as it pertains to me. He sent over some information that I reviewed. My view haven't changed when it comes to polygamy. I'm still standing with one man, one woman, and that's how it should be. That's what I support, and I'm going to leave it at that. We still going to do this discussion, Brother Mufasa and I. We still want to do this.
Wow.
So it's not going anywhere. He tried to end it. Well, he tried to end it because he don't really want it. So he's trying to make it as if though it's ended, but it's not. He's still going to get this work.
No.
No, he's going to get this work. Man.
Wow, I
you
swear,
to
you know.
You, my brother, so stay tuned
I thought we had came to an agreement, you know, but, you know, I'm going to leave it alone for now.
All right, yes, indeed. All right, y'all, this is Collective Minds Radio. So, yeah, Mufasa, you know, we hope you get well soon, my brother. Knock that little bug out the box, you feel me, so you get back
thanks,
to 100%.
Thanks.
You dig? And I don't know if y'all got a chance last night, but we actually had a full moon, and it was two planets that lined up with the moon. So we had a full moon, and Jupiter and Saturn was lined up. So that go back to, you know, it's been a lot of stuff going on in 2020, a lot of events happening on Earth, but it's a lot of events happening, you know, in the universe and in the galaxy as far as different planets alignments and star alignments that's going on. So, you know, a lot of different energies, different light codes been hitting the Earth. So this is 2020, y'all. We have officially moved into a new part of the universe. Like I was saying before, it's been a lot of stuff going on, not just with the COVID-19, but, you know, this week, actually today, something that was trending that was pretty interesting was Bill Clinton is a pedophile. Like, that was trending on Twitter. You see what I'm saying? So things like that, like, 'cause if you can remember, you know, a few years ago, who would have thought, you know, Bill, not a few years ago, but decades ago, 10, when Bill Clinton was the president and he was on Arsenio Hall playing the sax, who would have thought that we'd be at this point where he's being called out as a pedophile for being in the, you know, those Jeffrey Epstein papers. You know what I'm saying? You know, who would have thought we'd be in a world where folks be kind of, they kind of turning on Oprah these days? You know what I'm saying? Who thought we'd been in a world where Nick Cannon is, he got woke and then he went back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? He got woke and then he started apologizing. But the point is, there's a lot going on. It's a lot of changes in the air. You know, just tell the family, be wise, pay attention. There's a lot of opportunities in the midst of all the chaos as well. You know, but you got to stay on your square. You got to stay on point, you know, and, you know, just be truthful and strive for justice. That's what we, you know, that's what we're about. So I just wanted to put that out there. The full moon last night is one tonight. I think you could probably see that same alignment if, you know, if you got clear skies. But without further ado, family, the topic today, we are talking about, should the kids go back to school? You know, do you think the school should reopen? We have the coronavirus that been hit since March, shut the economy down, basically shut the world down, you know, for a time being. And now the debate is, you know, should these kids go back to school? So give us a call, family. The number is 929-477-1697. And, yeah, just before we get started, because we are, of course, locally here in St. Louis, Missouri, and a couple weeks ago, Missouri Governor Mike Parsons issued a statement basically saying, you know, the kids are going to get COVID, but they got to go back to school anyway. So I just want to read this real quick, and then we go in, you know, as far as what the family thinks, should the kids return back to school. And this is from the USA Today, by the way. It says, Missouri Governor Mike Parsons, a Republican, downplayed the risk for children who may contract the coronavirus from classrooms during school reopening, insisting they're going to get over it. These kids have to get back to school, Parsons said in an interview Friday with radio host Mark Cox of KFTK. They're at the lowest risk possible, and if they do get COVID-19, which they will, and they will when they go to school, they're not going to the hospitals. They're not going to have to sit in the doctor's office. They're going to go home, and they're going to get over it. We got to move on, he continued. We can't just let things stop we can't just let this thing stop us in our tracks. So, yeah, that was a quote from Missouri Governor Mike Parsons basically saying, you know, if your kids go to school and they get it, so what? They just go home and, you know, they'll be all right from there. Also, they released some guidelines for Missouri schools, and I'm sure they're doing this for each state as far as, you know, kids having to wear masks, you know, washing hand protocols, social distancing while they're at school. So it's a lot going on, and parents are on one side, and then you got the school administrators on one side, you got teachers on one side, the governor, you know, the governor's battling Trump. So it's a lot of different dynamics at play as far as, you know, should these schools reopen. So this is the conversation we're having today, family. Hit us up, 929-477-1697. Okay, cool. So we're going to get to the call lines here in a second. We want to let Queen Raiju and our brother Mufasa, you know, give their opinion, and then we'll hit the call lines. So, yeah, Queen Raiju, we always go to you first, of course. What do you think, you know, should the schools reopen? Do you have school-age children for the listeners that may not know? Are you sending them to school? You know what I'm saying? Just give us your whole thoughts on you know, should the schools reopen, or, you know, should parents send their kids back to school this fall?
Okay. Well, if it was me, if I was in charge, I would not open the schools. But since I'm not in charge of the society in its whole, I'm only in charge of my home. So, no, my child will not be attending the school. We homeschool anyway. So we was already homeschooling before, and we're going to continue homeschooling. That's what I recommend. But if the governor and everybody else is going to open up the schools, that's all on them. I do think that it's a bad idea because, just like the governor said, the kids will catch it. But then what he didn't say is them taking it home to parents and grandparents and other people who shouldn't be at risk. He didn't mention that.
Exactly.
Yes, they will get it. That's the concern, that they will get it, and then they will spread it. So the problem is them spreading it, not so much as them getting it, although you don't want them to get it because they still at risk as well. But even bigger than that, they spreading it. So I don't think it should be open. I'm not for it. If people, for whatever their reason is supporting of this, then they can, that's all on them. I don't think that they're looking at it fully. While they may have their own other reasons or agendas behind, you know, wanting the school open. Unfortunately, we deal with greedy people, and if there's money involved, then unfortunately sometimes people just do things just to get the bag. They support things just because it may allow them to be able to, you know, make a certain amount of money or income off of it. But as far as I'm concerned, if I was in rulership, I would not open the schools, and I do not support children going back right now.
All right. Yes, indeed. That makes a lot of sense right there. Yeah, so he basically saying we go send the kids home. Like, I mean, I thought the statement was kind of insensitive, you know what I'm saying, just to a lot of folks. But, you know, it is what it is. Brother Mufasa, what do you think, my brother? Because you know your boy Trump is saying the schools should reopen. You know, he's on the side that he thinks they should be open and everything could just be, you know, be okay. So, you know, what's your position? You know, do you think the schools should reopen this fall? What would you do as a parent if you had, a school-age parent? You know, what are your thoughts, my brother?
No, I don't agree with them with the schools opening. In my opinion, the children, you know, the ones that always spreading the little germs to the family, you know, anyway. As you see, here I am with a little bug, and I know exactly how the little bug came because my grandson was playing with a group of children, and then he came home sick, and then he gave it to his mother, and then she... And then it spread through the rest of the house. So So yeah, no, I don't think they should open. You know, these kids have had these little bugs, and it's just like Roger said. You got to think about the parents at home and the grandparents who these kids could be taking these little viruses to. So since the threat is that we're dealing with a super virus, this coronavirus, we ain't dealing with just a regular cold, then no, we should not be opening up schools. We shouldn't be letting these children go. And then we haven't even talked about the teachers. The teachers will have to be in these schools with these children. I mean, you're putting their lives at risk.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't think it's safe. I think there's other ways we can come up with to teach the children. I'm a fan of homeschooling as well. But there's other methods that we can use right now to teach children. You know, so, yeah, I'm not with it. And I'm going to make it plain because I want to hear what the callers say.
All right. Yes, indeed, family. If you're just joining, that was our brother Mufasa Ra. And we are talking about, you know, should the schools reopen this fall? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Yeah, so I'm going to make it real plain and quick. I think we all in agreement because I don't think the schools should open this fall. I mean, it's a lot going on. You know, they didn't build the hype for this thing and made it to where it shut the whole world and the economy down. And now you want to, you know, put these kids and teachers and administrators at risk by opening up the schools? No. I mean, if it's a deadly virus like they've been claiming from the beginning and it's, you know, this bad, we just got to stick with the script. We got to go with it. Keep the schools closed. This 2020 is pretty much a wrap as far as, you know, schooling. You talk about sporting events and a lot of things that's going on. I know they just opened up a few, but it's pretty much a wrap in my eyes. You know, this whole year is a wash. You know, we need to get it under control, you know, and then shoot next year. You know what I'm saying? Try to reopen the schools next year. I would say scrap the whole 2021 school year, right, and just have virtual learning, you know, just have virtual learning. And then you pick it back up in the fall of 2021. But, you know, I do have school-age children, and, you know, they will not be attending school. We'll try to set something up virtually. If not, then we will probably be homeschooling. And, you know, we kind of lean in towards homeschooling anyway, and we wanted to be in a position when the kids were older, you know, middle school. You know, we definitely want to be homeschooling. So no, I'm not with reopening. It's just too many guidelines and too much. I mean, going to school would actually distract away from actual learning, especially when you're dealing with kids, because you got to wear a mask. You know, you got all these different rules with social distancing. You got these different rules if somebody come in sick, and it would just be too much, I think. And it would distract the kids away from learning. So the best thing would just be, you know, do some type of virtual setup and just go from there. You know, you would just have to scrap this year. It's unfortunate for the kids, you know, that graduated in 2020 and the kids that, you know, may graduate in 2021 and whatnot. But this is just, you know, what we got to deal with. You know what I'm saying? It would just be one of them things. So that's where I'm at with it. So, yeah, we can hit the call lines. I think we all in agreement on that. It'd be interesting to hear someone who feels like, you know, we should open the schools back up. But give us a call, family, 929-477-1697. So, yeah, we get the call
Mufasa
lines. Right?
Maybe Mufasa and
yes,
Bianchi
sir.
Can get Trump on the line. I'm sure they got his number.
Yeah, you know.
314.
And look, right, let me say this, because it kind of looked like the divide is really, they done made it political, because Governor Mike Parsons of Missouri is a Republican. So, of course, he feels like his other Republican boy, Trump, and they like, yeah, we should open it up, no big deal, when you got the other side of the aisle kind of wanting to keep, you know, the schools closed. So they kind of politicized the thing. I'm not with either party, per se. I just feel like, you know, it shouldn't be reopened. you know, with all the hype and everything, no, don't open it up. So, interesting.
I mean, it ain't like we're talking about, you know, the sports like football. I mean, football has to start back up for the safety of the planet. Football has to start back up. But
right.
Schools, no, we got to be a little bit more precautious with these children. So, no, I don't think that's
right.
A good idea. I don't want to see the schools open back up.
Yes, indeed. Well, yeah, like I say, we are less than, a month away? Less than 2 months, but I think school starts around, you know, the end of August. So,
yeah
we are less than a month away. So, yeah, within this month. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how this thing, how it play out, you know. But, yeah, let's hit the call lines and see
call
what
line.
The family
okay.
think.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, how you guys doing today?
Hey,
how
you doing?
How you? What's up?
I'm doing fine. Well, that question should be left up to the parents. If
True.
The parents want their kids, their children to go to school, that should be left up to them in the district that they're in. It's the district, which is the parents, it should be left up to them, not the president. The governor can make stipulations for the schools to be open, but the parents don't have to sit on there. Now, I like Trump when he said that the schools district should give the money to the parents. Give in the city of St. Louis, according to 2015, give that $18,476 to the parents, city of St. Louis Public School. In Bayless, which is a white district, give that $11,634 to the parents. In Melville, R9, which is a white district, give that $11,124 to the parents. In Lindbergh, which is a white
right.
district, give that $13,938 to the parents. These black districts have more money per child, normally $14,918. As I said, City of St. Louis, $18,476. They got more money per child than these white districts do. So give the money to the child, to the parents, so they can decide what to do. Well, you know,
right.
you homeschool. You should get money. You should get the money also. You may be able to invest in some other resources in order to teach your children, your daughters. That's where I stand.
Right.
Yeah, and
yes,
you know
indeed.
What I did ask about that when I homeschooled too, about receiving the pay that they would normally receive for my child being. In school, but of course they said, "Oh no, we don't do that."
No, well, of course they're gonna tell you that,
right? Yes, right.
Because they don't want,
yeah.
they don't want. It's
exactly.
just the same thing with charter schools. The people that kids that come out of one school and go to the charter school, all that $18,000 don't follow them. Only about $7,000. Maybe at one time it was $5,500 that followed, and the rest of it stays in the school. Building with no child to contend with. Think about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the parents still got to raise money and have bake sales in that for other incidentals and include transportation. And I think it was an issue where, I believe it was at Vashon, where someone was homeschooling or going to Lift for Life and they wanted to utilize Vashon's facilities, and they didn't want them to do because they were going to a charter school, which is totally wrong. Charter schools are public schools, but anyway, that's my point.
Yes, indeed, we appreciate you, Colin. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be against that. You know, cutting a check for the parents and having them, you know, figure out the route they want to take as far as educating their kids. So, yeah, I would be with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You
too.
Know, we, yeah. We do know, like, things are going to look different, you know, when the schools reopen. Because I, like I say, I think this year is a wrap. And a lot of kids going to be doing virtual learning. I think if, you know, some parents could get in a position like our household where we can homeschool, you know, we won't be sending our kids back, you know, if we're in a position in the next year to, you know, get in a spot where we can just homeschool our kids and schedules permitting, our kids won't be going back. Because the old educational system, in my opinion, is outdated anyway. So that needs to be revamped and updated. And hopefully, you know, with this time off and this break, that's an opportunity for us to change the, you know, the educational system as a whole. But I digress. You dig? So, yeah, if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are discussing should the schools open back up this fall with the coronavirus, COVID-19, you know, still going on. They're still saying cases on the rise and this and that. So they still building the hype. So I say, you know, you got to stick with it. You know what I'm saying? If it's this deadly disease that you guys are claiming and it's, you know, killing everybody, it's this deadly virus, then we got to take the precautions. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's good. Did y'all have a response to what the caller said?
No, I mean, I agree. Like I said, I totally think if the students are not in school, the funding that they receive for the child should definitely go to the parent to help their education, even if it was to be toward
right.
paying for online classes and things like that. I definitely think, and it shouldn't be governed either. Like, you know how sometimes when they feel like they're giving you something, then they try to monitor you and all that stuff. Just let it be, you know, and let the parents have free will to do, you know, what they need to do to educate their child. I mean, of course, you don't want parents getting the money and going buy red bottoms, of course. You don't want that, but
right.
I think they should be able to, you know, buy their kids educational things, make sure they have computers and different types of resource books and test books and things like that to help projects. They can. I think they should be able to use the money to do field trips, you know, traveling to different museums out of town, just different things like that. So,
right. Yeah, that's what. I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. I think some, you know, some big changes may be coming, and I think some school districts are offering, you know, the virtual learning where you can learn virtually, and they may be giving parents that option. To keep their kids home. So, like, who knows? Because I definitely see a second wave possibly coming, you know, in the fall when it switch over from fall to winter. I could see a second wave coming. And then we're going to be right back at square one, you know, having to send the kids home for those that, you know, started up this school year. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Now, Kansas City is the other major city in Missouri. And they talking about, you know, their plans for that school district. And they, you know, they saying a lot of parents are opting, you know, to go virtual. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Because I know in the major cities, that's where, you know, a lot of our people are. And then we got to figure out what's going to you know, how the schools go proceed with this coronavirus thing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. We can hit the call lines, y'all, or, you know, y'all want to chime in.
Okay, yeah, area code 314-361. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm all
on. Okay, hey,
Colin. Hey, Colin. Peace.
How you doing? I'm just listening to the show. I'm listening to the show, but at the same
time,
The United States is not ready to open up schools. With this pandemic going on right now, and so many cases, thousands and hundreds of them coming in per day, and then they preparing more and more hospitals now. You know, they haven't got a hold of this thing yet. And now they're changing it from a virus to a bacteria. And that's a game changer right there. That means they're coming out with more knowledge of this. They can handle it a little bit more, but they're finding out it's a bacteria. But they don't know how to get a grip on this bacteria and how to keep it contained. And when you lose a family, or it's too risky, because if that person catches the virus or the bacteria, your whole family can be quarantined for 14 days. It don't just that one person get affected or that one child get affected. It puts the whole family in danger. And then it's a back and forth thing. So it's no way they should be opening up the school. That shouldn't even be on the table until we get this whole thing under control. And right now, our country is divided. And you know the saying used
right.
to be, together we stand, divided we fall. Well, we're so divided right now, we're guaranteed to fall. So same way with this corona.
Right.
We got China. We got Europe. We got other countries right now drinking wine, eating cheese and crackers, and having picnics in open parks with no masks. And they had the corona first, and they put their stuff in order and got it checked. And we over here, instead of advancing, we going further back in the hole because of our division. And it starts at the top. A president that started off not even wearing a mask, defying the mask. So he didn't send a wave to young America as well as other people. They're not even going to wear a mask. They don't even care. Some of them don't even think it's serious. But it's so serious that it's no way they can send a kid to the school right now. That's all I got to say. I would not send my kids to the school. Matter of fact, you even got to be careful even with the teachers. It's too much, you know. It's out of control until we get actual knowledge on this and a cure. Until a cure. And I ain't talking about pill stealing or some other kind of man-made stuff we got already, because we see that's not the cure. So we get a real cure. All stuff is off the table. 6 feet, distancing, mandatory masks, hand sanitizer, all of that until we get a grip on what is really going on. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Right. Yes, indeed.
Thanks, Connor.
Appreciate
totally
that, Connor. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot going on. So, yeah, he brought up some good points. You know, as far as the information with the virus changes every day. You know, one minute is one thing. It's a virus, then it's bacteria. The ways it can spread changes from day to day. So it's a lot of, you know, inconsistent information that's out there. So with all that being said, it's like, come on. How are you planning on sending these kids to school and you don't have a grip on what, you know, how this thing spreads, who it affects, yeah, the symptoms and all that. So it's just like, no, just, you know, don't even go there. But he did say one thing that was interesting, that how divided the country is on this thing, because, like I said, they then politicized this thing and basically divided the country up on the virus. Like, you know, the information is so spread out, Republicans thinking one thing, Democrats thinking one thing, and, you know, that so they battling back and forth. And we talked about this before, how Trump is having a battle with these Democratic governors, and, you know, he was going at it with Cuomo, the governor of New York, for a minute. He was going at it with the governor of California, this Gavin Newsom guy. So they didn't turn this thing political, which they do with a lot of big issues. And it's not really about the safety of the people, in my opinion. You know, it's about who can be right. You know, who can prove the other person right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? So it's been turned into a game. And, you know, that's unfortunate. So, like I do, on my Cosmic Cave, I just sit back and watch the show. You know what I'm saying? But I know what I'm going to do as far as my family goes. We will not be attending school this fall. You know what I'm saying? But, again, parents got to make their own decisions. Parents got to make their own decisions. So, that's what it is. So, yeah.
Okay, hit the call line.
We all made the decision and didn't open it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now we're going to hit the call lines. Area code 314-875. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Caller,
hi, how are you this evening?
Hey, Carl,
hey,
thanks for calling
well.
In.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you? I am calling. Hey.
Well. hey.
This is Del Rio in St. Louis. And I most definitely disagree with schools opening. In fact, teachers have actually gone and protested and rally to keep the schools closed. I think that is very selfish, and it is an act of greed for our government to try and press teachers and students to go back to school in a pandemic that we know nothing about. We can't control it. We don't have a cure for it or anything. So I highly disagree with schools being open for any reason. And I don't think it should be up to the parents. And the reason being because this is a pandemic. So you allow a few children here and there to go to school, and then there's no telling where else they could be, you know, outside of the school. And then there you go. You have a whole pandemic inside of a school. With something like this going on, I feel like the only choice is an alternative program, virtual, at home, until we get some control over this. In fact, Missouri does have a program that's outside of their particular school district. It's being ran by the state of Missouri, and it's called MOCAP. And you can just look it up and, you know, get some information on it. It's totally free, and they actually provide students with computers if they don't have them. You have a teacher that instructs you and everything. I think it's an greed. I believe districts want to open schools to get the federal dollars, and then when the virus breaks out, then they shut down, but they already have the money. That's the way I feel.
Okay, and then what would you say that program was? MOPAP? What is it?
It's called MOCAP. M like in Mary, O, C like in cat, A, P like in Paul.
Okay, got it, MOCAP. Okay. Good. Yes,
and
indeed.
The program,
yeah,
they have K-12 programs. Go on the website and take a look. You can sign your children up, however many you have, and they provide a great education. In fact, my child, I just signed her up this year.
Okay, got you. So she'll be doing MOCAP this year? Is that
correct?
Virtual learning?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Yep. Yep, that'll work. All right, caller, did y'all have any questions for the caller?
Yeah, I wanted to hear more about these protests.
More about the protests and the rallies. The teachers are, well, at first, before teachers were given the, before many school districts, I should say, were shut down in Missouri just to, you know, to virtual education only. Many teachers were being told that they had to come to school, otherwise they would have to pay a $3,000 fine for, you know, not, yes, if they did not adhere to their contract. I don't know if you've heard, but many teachers in California were told that they would be offered a service to write their wills for free. They should be writing lesson plans, not their wills.
Right.
So that goes to show you what teacher wants to go into a school and teach under stress like that, and what will the kids learn?
Mm-hmm.
They're too busy avoiding COVID to take care of themselves. So I just think that it's a waste. It makes no sense to open up any school district at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what I was saying right before you came on, Carl. I was ready to say that, like you said, with the parents shouldn't have a choice. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
if the administrators would do the right thing, their choice would be then. But they don't. They're not doing the right thing. The powers that be are not doing the right thing.
And I hear a lot of parents saying, and this bothers me. It does. I'm going to be honest about it. I hear a lot of parents say, well, if our kids don't go to school and we have to go to work, then we don't have anyone to watch our kids. Schools are not a babysitting service. Your child is sent there to learn. I understand that it may put some parents in a tight spot. But when you say things like that, it leads me to believe that you're looking at school as a babysitting service, and that's not what it is.
Right.
Mm. Right. Yes, indeed. Good point. Good point, yeah.
Exactly.
That'd be a dilemma.
On that note, do you have maybe some suggestions or ideas that parents could, a way that they could find someone to watch their children, or what's some advice you might give for parents that would say something like this?
Well, in St. Louis, Missouri, there are many groups that are coming together, and I do believe I heard Kelvin Adams, who's the superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools, say that they were trying to get some things together to provide child care for children who could not attend, whose parents had to work but they could not attend school because schools would be virtual only. So there are a lot of groups coming together now. I have not done the research to give you the exact names of the groups, but I can, and I can email one of you with those later.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
That would be great.
Yes,
yeah.
I can do that. I can do that. And your emails and everything are on the website. Am I correct?
Yes, indeed. Yes. CollectiveMinds@yahoo.com.
All right, thank you.
With that also.
I have a question. So these groups are groups that's forming to assist parents that have to go back to work so their student can have a place to be?
Yes, there are groups forming now so that and trying to find places, make sure there's enough volunteers so if parents have to go back to work, basically your children will come to a place and they won't be able to have many in one place because of restrictions.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Isn't that like going back to school?
You're
still taking them into a group
setting. It'll be socially distanced, and all of those things are trying to be worked out now. And as I said, there are some superintendents even working to see if they can assist parents with finding a place for their children.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think that's a great thing, a very notable thing for superintendents to be trying to do, because that's all they have to do is say, well, we're doing virtual education only, and that's it. But some superintendents came forward and said, we're going to try and assist with finding children places to go. But it's not many children. There's no rules that have been set yet because these things haven't happened. But just letting you know, there are groups forming to help out the community with their children if they have to go to work.
Right. And Dario, this is something I wanted to give opportunity for you to do real quick, because some people don't know. Dario has been, fighting for the rights of children and education for quite some time. She had a story with her child. Some things were being bullied, so she was fighting bullying. And if you wanted to drop, any organization or a way that maybe some people could get a hold of you if they want to talk to you about education, about bullying. Can you do that also?
Oh, yes, I can do that. Well, right now the best way to reach me is actually through my Facebook Messenger. And it's under my name, first name Del Rio, spelled D like in David, E-L, R-I-O. Last name is Swink. That's S like in Sam, W, I, N like in Nancy, K. Right now, I am involved with two different organizations, working on two totally different things, but they all are to benefit children in education, assisting parents with coping skills when their children have been bullied, assisting them with finding resources for their children when they want to take their children out of schools. Right now, for me, just like I believe I heard someone say earlier, homeschooling is the best place for children. And I'll go on further to say, with what I have seen in a lot of schools, COVID was both a blessing and a curse. It was a curse because of the pandemic itself, but it was a blessing because a lot of children were tormented and being bullied and different things happening in schools, and the adults were ignoring it in order to, I feel, to keep the accreditation in their school district. Bullying had gotten so bad in Missouri, DESE, which is the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, no longer took complaints. They no longer take complaints on bullying. It has actually been turned over to the Highway Patrol now. That's how bad it had gotten in Missouri.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
There was
yeah.
a lot going
That's
on
deep.
In the schools, and COVID just kind of gave kids that were going through that torment a break. But I highly suggest parents look into MOCAP.
Right.
MOCAP is totally different from your regular school district's virtual program. Although your child will still be considered as a student of their school district, but MOCAP has a totally different virtual program. And I went to MOCAP because I found my own district's program was not what I expected for my child.
Gotcha.
It was not suitable.
Gotcha. And I'm on the MOCAP website now. It's MOCAP is acronym for Missouri Courses Access and Virtual School Program.
Exactly.
So to any parents, you know, you can check out that website at mocap.missouri. So yeah, caller, good information. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you are welcome, and I'll be listening. Thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed.
Right,
so, family, if you're just joining us, yes, indeed. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are discussing, do you think the school should reopen this fall? It seems like, you know, from my observation, the overwhelming majority of people say that they do not want the schools to reopen. They would prefer virtual learning. In fact, there was a poll from Missouri teachers. And 80% of them were against, you know, the schools reopening in the same capacity they did before. So, you know, 80% of the teachers are pretty much against it. I think a lot of parents are as well, you know, from my perception. So, you know, I think they're going to have to, you know, make some adjustments. You know, it's one of those things that they're going to have to do. There's a lot of talk about, you know, people – or students being involved in extracurricular activities, sports. There was an article released just real quick, and we'll get to the call lines, where it says Missouri high school sports will play as scheduled with or without St. Louis. So Missouri sports will play, but there's a discrepancy in St. Louis whether the St. Louis sports team will play. And just real quick from the article, this is on stltoday.com. It says high school sports will go on in Missouri. It appears likely St. Louis City and St. Louis County schools will have to watch from the sideline. On Thursday afternoon, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page encouraged all schools in St. Louis County to start the school year completely online. Also on Thursday, the St. Louis County Department of Public Health sent a letter to school leaders encouraging them to go virtual because of a sustained increase in COVID-19 cases that is a result of community transmission. The letter stated, while this is a recommendation and not a mandate, the Department of Public Health may take further action to close school buildings that have outbreaks that further risk the health of residents. Nearly 20 school districts in the area have opted to begin the school year online, including Apton, Brentwood, Clayton, Ferguson, Florissant, Hazelwood, Kirkwood, Parkway, Pattonville, St. Louis Public School, and Webster Groves. So, yeah, that's basically saying that, you know, a lot of St. Louis County schools and St. Louis City schools are opting to go virtual. Like you said, while this is a recommendation, not a mandate from the Department of Public Health, I assume that most school districts are going to adhere to that particular recommendation. So, yeah, that's where we at here in Missouri. If anybody, you know, any of our listeners from other states, other cities, let us know what's going on. Give us a call, 929-477-1697. Let us know, you know, are the schools in your area reopening? Are you sending your kids back to school, so on and so forth? So hit us up. Y'all want to hit the call lines? Let's go. Respond
area
to anything from the
line. Area code 314-750. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
This is Sister Niambe.
Hey, how
yes,
you
indeed.
Doing? Thanks for calling.
Peace, sister. Yes, indeed.
Peace. This is a great topic of discussion.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But I am more concerned with the lack of discussion in general within our community as far as the greater detriment, the greater problem of white supremacy in the school system. It's like a double homicide. So while people are concerned over the potential death or illness from COVID via the children and teachers returning to school, but what about the mental, spiritual, and moral death that our sons and daughters experience via their educational system and
white
supremacy? When we talk about... This is an opportunity for, it's almost as if we still aren't getting it. We aren't really understanding what is happening here. This is the death of white supremacy. So you want to send your children back into a system that dies out instead of, as all other people have done, and now it's our time to set up our own school. Where our children learn the truth of who
that's
they
right.
are. When I was in school, I didn't know, you know, that I was being put to sleep, but I got tired in the 11th grade, and I said, I'm just not going back because I couldn't take it anymore. I was bored.
Yep, that's right.
I was learning nothing about myself. So, and I saw other students doing the same, especially black male youth who were brilliant, who didn't have come to school, but when they did go to school, they would murder a math test. And I didn't understand what was happening, but their system is far. Now that I have my own sons, and I've seen, I allowed my oldest son to go to a Catholic school for 1 year, and he started failing. He had been in a Muslim school all his life. I let him go to a Catholic school because one of my Muslim sisters was sending her son to the school, and she wanted my son to go. The worst decision I could have ever made. And so I allowed him to be there for 1 year. And let me tell you what I saw. I got to experience firsthand the murder of our sons when you put them in their schools under their rulership. Under their direct rulership, because their goal, their whole motive is to murder God in the black name. So when we put, if you notice, when you put your sons in their school, your sons, they either ADHD or they disruptive. I'm saying this is what they're labeling them. Now, your daughters do fine, but your sons are always a part. Now,
this is true.
That's by design. That's not necessarily true. When they called me to the school for my son, who was in honors classes, you know, going in from the start. Now, the Caucasians tried to label him and he's this and he's that. His honors teacher, who is of Latina descent, she said, there's nothing wrong with him. He knows exactly what he's doing. So I was grateful for her willingness to stand up for my son because I knew there was nothing wrong with him either. But, I mean, these are things we really have to contemplate. This is not business as usual. We're trying to get back to business as usual, and that's why we're dying. So we must begin to be responsible for our own and ourselves. This is an opportunity for us to set up our own food system instead of doing, you know, just seeking to continue to be dependent on them when our dependence upon them is all but over. So that's my comment. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate that, Carla. And yes, indeed. Man, I'm glad she said that because I'm usually the one that always bring up white supremacy as it pertains to, you know, the areas of people activity. So she is absolutely right. This is a great opportunity. This is actually a blessing. So we should not be fighting to, you know, rush back to their schools. This is an opportunity for us to educate our children. That's why I'm saying the educational system is going, especially for black people, it should look different after this pandemic. You know, after we get through, all the things that this pandemic brings, education for black boys and girls should look different because we have seen that this educational system does not fare well especially for black boys, as you said. Girls tend to do pretty good, but again, they're still groomed to be dependent on white supremacy, and we're not building enough, you know, independent minds to come back and build for our community. So this is a great opportunity to do that, and it's been so many studies that show that black boys in the Western society in these schools under white supremacy, they have a lack of self-esteem. You know, they have a lack of self-worth. They, you know, rebel against the system. It's a lot of things. And me being a young black male who grew up in the system, you know, who went to their schools from K through 12, I can attest that, yes, it's true. You know, I was friends with guys growing up in school that they claimed were ADHD, or some of these brothers, young brothers, was in special ed. And I'm conversating with these kids every day on the bus. I'm like, dude, there's nothing wrong with you. Why are you in special ed? He like, oh, just because I'm bad. And, you know, they say I fight and this and that. I'm like, bro, there's nothing wrong with your mental. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with you. But when you don't have parents and things advocating for you, they're able to slide our kids into these special ed classes, get them on these psychotropic drugs, you know, these amphetamines that they get these kids on, and next thing you know, they turned out. You know, they're addicted. And then they, you know, it's the prison to the school to prison pipeline. And we've seen that before. You know what I'm saying? At least I've seen it personally. So this educational system is detrimental to, you know, to our liberation and to black boys and girls being the best versions of themselves. It actually cripples us. You dig what I'm saying? So I just want to point to there's a good book by our brother Dr. Umar Johnson. He wrote that, you know, people can go check out. It's called The Psycho-Academic Holocaust, The Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys. by Dr. Umar Johnson. A great book. You know, I believe he's a clinical psychologist, and he goes into deep about how they use special ed and education as a weapon against black boys specifically. So, yeah, the caller is absolutely right, you know. So this is a great opportunity for us. If you just yes, sir, go ahead.
I was just going to add to that real quick. Y'all know I've always been, you know, pointed at as being a blackly black person. You know, even before all this stuff kicked off, I always thought out ways to have my children involved in black education. We had a school here, Pomoja, that was an African-centered school, even though it was in the public school system. But at that time, that was the best thing I could find. What I could find at that time for my children, so I sent my daughter there. But you know, as you continue to study and look for things, you'll find them. You know, the Nation of Islam had Muhammad University of Islam that teaches black children. There's also a new site that I want to add. I want to let you guys know about that's black owned. It's called giftedandlit.com. It's a black-owned website designed for teaching children.
Indeed.
So y'all can check it out as well. Giftedandlit.com, Muhammad
right.
Academy of University of Islam, African Center Schools, you know. So, yeah, I'm all about teaching our people. We have to teach ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And just while we're giving our resources, this is another book that the family can pick up, and this is by our brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. Is called Understanding the Assault on the Black Man, Black Manhood, and Black Masculinity. Now, again, like the previous caller just stated, this starts in school. I mean, it starts at birth, but they really turn it on to attack black manhood and the black masculinity in school. You talking K through 12. They start early. You know, you get a black male kid who's, you know, he could be have a lot of energy. He could be, you know, aggressive. These are things that early on in our schooling that they try to hop on real quick. You know what I'm saying? If a little white kid is aggressive and talks back, oh, he's going to be a leader. But if a black kid does that, he's a troublemaker. He talks out of turn. He does this. He does that. So the assault on our kids starts early, and it starts in the educational system. And, you know, people never really connect the dots. I talk about that a lot. The majority of teachers in the American school system are white women, right? We're talking about white women who are the ones who punish our kids harder than they do their kids, right? We're talking about the kids who are the teachers, the white teachers who send our kids to special ed and get them on these things. And, you know, so the white woman is at the front line because she is the teacher, right, of most of our students that go into these public schools. She is on the front line of the prison, of the school to prison pipeline. So we can't forget that. You know what I'm saying? We cannot forget that. And like I say, the assault starts in school. That's where, that's an institution where they can really break down the black man and then try to create the divide between the black male and the black female, you know, that also starts in school. So, yeah, that's where we at, man. This is a great opportunity, like the caller stated, and we should be taking advantage and trying to set ourselves up to educate our kids properly, you see. So, yeah, family, if you're just joining us.
Great caller tonight.
Yes, indeed. If you're just joining us, family. Yes, indeed. We have some great information. We are talking about should the schools reopen this fall. You know, I think the overwhelming consensus from this particular call is we don't think the schools should reopen. In fact, this is a great opportunity for parents to, you know, take their kids' education on hand and teach them what you think they should learn, and so they can be the best version of themselves, you know, and help the family. So, yeah, that's where we at. Give us a call. We down to the last half hour. The number is 929-477-1697. So, yeah, let's get it. Y'all want to get another call?
Okay, area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, peace, Black Supremacy. How's everybody doing?
Yeah,
hey, Caller, thank
peace,
you.
Peace, 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 brother.
Yeah, you know, with the whole situation, I think it's definitely a gift and a curse. I want to kind of address a previous caller. I don't think that a lot of parents are looking for a babysitter per se, but I mean, everybody's situation is a little different. You know, I'm fortunate to have older kids as well as, you know, have a co-parent at the moment that's working from home. But when you have to work out
right.
the field as I do, and you don't have that opportunity, you know, it's like you're concerned because obviously a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old can't be home by themselves. But I think that this
right.
is going to be a challenge for the parents, that beyond the virtual education that I've said a long time ago is moving towards the a global education or a virtual matrix, if you will, that we have to do some type of programming for our own kids. And what Kevin was saying with, you know, Dr. Umar and Dr. Wesley Muhammad's book, I would also say that, you know, with this whole corona apocalypse, is creating a challenge for the educational system, because now you can't really label those kids ADHD and medicate them anymore, because now the schools
right.
are getting paid off of that. So I think that you know, there's a silver lining in all this, and I think
that
unity and you know, us as parents coming together, trying to figure out what's going to be the best kind of education for our kids. What do they really need to be learning? It's cool to have them, you know, pass certain programs that they have, you know, set up for our kids. But during this time of this so-called pandemic, what is it that we need to be teaching our kids? You know, how can
right.
we teach them to get involved in business and, you know, really move towards the direction the system's moving to? Like, I'm not technologically savvy, but I understand that we're moving into a world where our kids need to understand that kind of language. So
that's
I
right.
think that, you know, as parents, community leaders, or however we want to define ourselves, we need to collectively be coming together and having these discussions. Also, like, you know,
that's right.
I'm going to say this, I'm going to leave it alone, but, you know, I'm David King on Facebook group for parents that we can have these kind of conversations. Everybody's situation is different. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right, right.
Because I have older kids, that's one thing. But I think that, you know, collectively we could be coming together using our minds to try to figure out
yes.
what's going to be the duration for our kids. Because honestly, the education system that's been presented to us by our enemy may not and probably is not the best selection for our kids. So while they're at home, what should they be learning?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of skills should
exactly.
they be, you know, developing? That kind of thing.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
Right, exactly. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Appreciate the call. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I want to tell you something real quick. A caller has sent in a message saying that, you know, in times like this is when the government kicks in and they pay the parents through the coronavirus relief fund when they're unable to work. You know, parents of minor children can get financial help with it. So I'm just throwing it out there.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yeah, the last caller just brought up some great points, you know, as far as, you know, what should the kids be learning, you know, what type of skills should they be learning, and so on and so forth, which is a great question. Now, and that's my problem with this educational system under white supremacy, because it treats every child as if they're the same. everybody's different. Every child has different skills, different, you know, qualities, different talents. You dig what I'm saying? I have twin daughters born on the same day. They're so different. It doesn't make it, it's amazing how different they are. My point is, with kids, they're all different. There has to be a system where we cater to that particular child's personality, their needs, their talents, the things that that individual is good at. And we try to, you know, we try to hone those skills and, you know, give them the tools to be the best versions of themselves. Again, a problem with our educational system as it stands today, it treats everybody like a cookie cutter. You have to do this. You have standardized tests, blah, blah, blah. You have to hit these type of quotas and numbers and, you know, all this other type of stuff, which really doesn't capture that individual's person. But we know it's designed to keep people sheep. It's designed to have you working like a mule till you're 60, retire, and die. That's what it's designed for. But this is an opportunity to shift the paradigm, and we can teach our kids the skills that's going to elevate not only our community but the entire planet. You dig what I'm saying? Because that's the ingenuity that comes from being a black person. That's not bragging. That's just some gifts that we have that, you know, we're connected to the universe on a certain level. In my opinion, from what I've seen, you know, black people do. So it's a great opportunity for us to kind of, you know, figure out or take our kids individually and see what they're good at and teach them from that point on and have them elevate, you know, themselves without the Western idea of remembering something, taking a test, and then you get passed on. You know what I'm saying? Those days, I believe, are over. And, we just have to upgrade how we educate our children. And then as far as the, you know, a group of parents getting together and, you know, kind of bouncing ideas off each other and working together, teaching kids, I think that's a great idea. You know what I'm saying? The old African proverb is it takes a village to raise a child. You dig what I'm saying? And we're going to have to get back to that point where everybody chips in. If you got some parents working from home, maybe they can collaborate. And, you know, we can teach the kids on this day, teach the kids on that day, get them out in the field doing some things. You know, there's just a lot of different ways we can go about this. But community is going to always be one of the best ways to achieve, you know, to achieve some of these goals when it comes to educating our kids. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. But I digress. You feel me?
Okay. Let's go ahead and get P back on. Pianki. Hey, Pianki, you there?
Yeah, I just wanted to.
I tagged you with some stories. Teachers want to be in a classroom. And okay. Another story. It's about the Detroit public schools. It's in Facebook.
Right.
National disgrace.
Okay, is that in Missouri?
I couldn't find any stories on Missouri, but I imagine there's some school districts in Missouri where teachers want to go back to school. Now, here's the thing.
Right.
Like, I listen to people say it over and over, but they're missing the point. What goes on in that school district is you, the members of that school district, the people, that's your responsibility. The law gives you that responsibility. But you know what the problem is, Kevin? People don't want to take that responsibility. They don't want to hold their district accountable. You know where Francis Howell District is? Out there in St. Charles.
Yeah, St. Charles, yeah. Yes, sir.
They had some sort of discrepancy in that district. Them people came out, fired the superintendent and got rid of the whole damn board. Fired the superintendent and got rid of the whole board. apparently because they weren't doing as they was told. And you don't see that in the black community. Muslims at Mosque 28 don't send their kids to Brother Ibrahim's high school there on Garrison and Natural Bridge. A lot of them go to Cardinal Ritter. Some that I worked with over there, I seen them over at Cardinal Ritter. And I can't think of the one kid, and Brother Muhammad. I can't think of, he's a tall kid. But that's because that's what they want to do. And that's why I myself is a strong proponent of school choice and with vouchers where parents can take their children where they want to. See, the old cliche talking about white schools have more money than black schools, that ain't true. Matter of fact, I give you a link to that to show you where the Post-Dispatch listed about 20 school districts in this area. And you got black school districts, like I mentioned earlier, that have more money per child than white school districts. So it gets down to what payroll.
So what does that, what does more money per child actually mean? Because when you look, if you just look even at the facilities of these schools, you know, a lot of them, it's totally different. And you look at the curriculum, you look at the resources, the books, where is this money going per child?
I don't know where they're spending the money at, Kevin. That's a good question. I built about 8 schools in the St. Louis Public Schools. Last one I built was a Shine. Did investigative learning. Metro there on Jefferson, I guess it's called Metro. Hodges. And several others.
Yeah.
Normandy, investigated Normandy School out there on the new one out there on the Lucas and Hunt Crossing. One in Pattonville, there in Berkeley. I don't know how many school districts have school buildings I've built because there was an opportunity, something that was good at the time. But those schools got just as much as any other school.
Right.
As far as facilities is concerned. You know, they passed a $350 million bond issue years ago to air condition all the school buildings, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the problems with St. Louis Public Schools is that they don't lost population because they're down to about 23,000, whereas at one point it was about over 100,000, and people have fled. So that's the predicament you're in. You can have whatever books you want. You talk about Pomoja. We helped Pomoja get started. We took Kevin Adams, myself, Richard Dockett, he's dead, Al Lumpkin, he's dead, Bertha Gilkey, she's dead. Matter of fact, the school is named after her, Pomoja Bilkey, Bertha Gilkey. We took him up to Kansas City to see how the Chick school systems operated. And we spent the day up there. He liked it, and he made it possible for Sean Nichols to have the school that he wanted to have, which he did, under the alternative education funds that was available. And the school still exists today, but everybody that initially is there was gone. We've done the same thing with some members of the Normandy School Board, Joe Collins, Frank Days, Rita Days' husband. You had Carolyn Richardson, she's dead. You had Cozy Marks, he's still around, but he's not on the board. And another guy, I can't think of his name. They all went up there, they seen it, but they didn't want to do it. So that's up to the black boy. They didn't want to do it. Yes, sir.
Brother Piaki, let me say this, because you definitely won't get no argument out of me about our lack of participation when it comes to school districts or our children. Because like I said earlier, I had a child that went to Pomoja. And I've seen firsthand how the lack of participation is. You know, I came up with this little slogan that a lot of us want liberation with no participation. And that's not going to work. You know, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You have to get in. It's just like, it's a shame that you brought it up earlier. And I'm a member of MOS 28. You know, and that's a sad reality that's true. We do send people to Cardinal Ritter. And
well,
you won't get no argument
just,
out of me. We cannot have
liberation
without no participation.
It's not just St. Louis. Same thing we've seen in Detroit. Detroit had Malcolm X Academy, which is an excellent school. It had Paul Robeson, They had many other schools. They had African-centered curriculum throughout the whole district when Kwame Kilpatrick was there, because I don't care too much for him. But all that's gone now. Paul Robeson was an excellent school. All that's gone now. You know why? Because the people don't want it no more than what they have to put up with it. And I'm talking about black folks. Whites don't have anything to do with this. And I'm telling you, people say what the whites system, and that ain't no white system. Blacks can do whatever they want to in them schools. Pomoja,
no,
the principal at Pomoja. Yeah, the wait a minute. The principal, Miss Pomoja, Miss Angel. We was talking to her, and she said only 10% of her, I think it was kindergarten and one of the grades are reading at level. And I think she listed several grades, but nobody out of this conscious community. Nobody out of the black nationalist community goes over there and work with them kids. Of course, you have to have background checks. They just don't let anybody come into those schools. But that's the way it is.
Did you ever visit the school on Garrison, brother?
Yeah, I was teaching some kids down there how to do stock and options.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Farrakhan
was a kid
that went to Cardinal River, one of the students.
Well, I mean, the one you're talking about on Garrison, and that's your breed.
That's Brother Ibrahim's school.
Exactly. I visited that school, and I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes, man, to watch them work with those children. I'm like, our people don't know what they're missing out on. You know, we're so busy, we look for glitz and glam, and, you know, it's wonderful to see them elders working with our children. You know?
Well, that's all you need is that. Actually, you don't have to have teachers that certify. That's a myth. Get people that's working in industry every day to come in and teach. Marcus Garvey, one of the highest performing schools I've ever seen, out there on 6th and Slauson Avenue in South Central L.A. I've never seen children perform like that, especially in math. Those children is off the chart at that time. And I videotaped them. The video is on YouTube. It's called Marcus Garvey Academy, Los Angeles, L.A. Look it up and watch them. Anyway, man, I just had to add that. I'm getting ready to go. I ain't coming back no more today.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
All right. Hey, is all them watermelons gone?
Yeah, they all gone, brother.
I figured that.
Sold out.
All right, y'all. Be careful now.
I'm trying to get me another
one, too. Peace, Tyler.
Thanks,
Tom. So, the caller made some good points. I mean, there's a lot of challenges, you know, within our communities, but we have a lot of good examples of, you know, schools doing the right thing. There's some schools down in Atlanta, you know, some African-centered black schools in Atlanta. You got the Marcus Garvey out in L.A., you got the, you know, the Muslim schools here, Muslim schools in Chicago. And as you see, when the kids are attended to and given the proper environment to learn, our kids excel. You see what I'm saying? They really do excel. I hear what y'all saying as far as, you know, the parents' participation and these other type of things. But also there's a level where you know, parents are participating. You dig what I'm saying? And the kids are excelling. If it works, more than likely the system is going to try to shut it down. If it's actually working and the kids are actually learning, you see what I'm saying? They'll try to undermine that particular progress. But, you know, these are opportunities. With the coronavirus going on and everything, these are opportunities for parents and communities alike to start to educate their kids, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we'll see how it plays out, you feel me? Family, we down to the last 5 minutes of the show. It's actually been a great show, man. We got some good information out there, got some good resources for folks. You know, there's a lot of online resources, so, you know, as we move past 2020 and into 2021, you know, we all get to a point where there can be no more excuses, right? the elders and the ancestors, the grandcestors, then laid it out for us. We know what to do. We just got to do it. You know, and we can't be asking no more, what should we do, or how we going to do this, how we going to do that, because everything's been laid out for us. You know, we go back to Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey. All these teachers have laid it out. We just have to apply it to 2020. We just got to apply it to this new, you know, millennium, to this new epoch that we in. So that's where we at. You know what I'm saying? And as we move forward in time, the excuse is going to have to go out the window, and we just going to have to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what it comes down to. So, yeah, family, y'all get some closing thoughts. You feel me?
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't say it better myself. You know, Marcus Garvey, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, has told us what we need to do. And this is a good opportunity, because we didn't, a lot of us don't, you know, didn't choose to listen to our elders. Well, now we're being forced. Now we're being forced to take action. And sometimes that's what happens. That's what we need. Sometimes we have to be forced. We need a little, kick in the butt to take action and do for self.
That's right.
Again, if you guys didn't hear me when I had said earlier, a website that you might want to check out is called giftedandlit.com. Giftedandlit.com. Go on there and get some help with educating your children online. And for all conscious people, it is black owned, geared towards black children. So check it out, giftedandlit.com.
Yes, indeed, gifted and lit. Yeah, family, so this is where we at. I think the consensus, on at least on this call, is we do not think the schools should reopen. In fact, like we just said, it's opportunity for parents. I know this is the path I'm on. My kids did attend public school, but they will be attending virtual this year, and then hopefully we can get to the point where we're actually homeschooling. You know what I'm saying? That's the goal, is to become less and less dependent on the system, so we can elevate our children and they can do their own thing and be the best version of themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we at. We're going to use this time, this opportunity to homeschool, or at least to work towards homeschooling. Let me say that. You know, use this opportunity to work towards homeschooling. So that's where we at, family. You know, thank you to all the callers. We appreciate all the support. We going to let Rigel wrap us up. Or if, you know, Brother Mufasa want to get some last words in, we can go ahead and close it out. It's been a good conversation, baby. Good build. Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah, we'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in with us today. We appreciate all the support. This was a great topic. I think this is a tough call, because it's like, I know parents do have to go to work, and I know some parents that work, younger students, that do need a place to go. You know, so I recognize the situation. It's just something to be discussed, something to be worked out. But we appreciate all the callers calling in with their opinions, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. So if you have any show topic ideas, please feel free to send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. And this week, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. Next week.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earth. We about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point. call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we walk in, collective mind.
Yeah, they gon' feel this. Let that play out.